I have a prophecy for Veronica on her birthday. Know that today is a new day in your life that you should write down as a new beginning. A transformation's happening, like a woman who got pregnant or had a child. Everything is going to be different. And the difference is things that are changing your life is something to embrace and to jump up for joy and to dance. For prayers have been heard and new doors are being opened up for you to walk out in faith. And so what would look to be very scary to most people, I want you to look ahead into this year with great excitement, to walk on water, to call people from among the dead, to wake people up, and to shine your light. So prepare yourself to do these mighty works so that you don't miss the moments, and we'll do it together as you take my hand. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight's teaching is going to be the Hebrew word emeth. Anybody know the definition?
Just remember,
A-M-E-T.
It's E-M-E-T.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the Hebrew word is emeth. And so if you should look at King James, you're like, this word, you would never know that it is anything extraordinary. Grateful for King James, but we got somebody better now. And so Veronica sent me a prophetic word, and she goes, ask Yahweh for the word for this year. A spoken word, the word. And she sent that to me, and I got it. I'm like, okay, that's great, that's great. And then she reminded me, go to Yahweh to find out what is the word for this year. Thank you for doing that. And as I did that, I started going, okay, wait a minute, I already received the word. I'd forgotten about it. The word is emeth. And a friend prophetically spoke something, and so this is going to be a teaching on that. If you guys want to, you could turn to Genesis 24 in the meantime. We won't be reading that very quickly. But we will be going to Genesis 24 to see the first usage of the word. Very important, the first usage.
E-M-E-T-H or E-M-E-T?
T. E-T-H. Emeth. Meth. Like meth, like the drug. Emeth.
What verse? Genesis?
I'll get to the verse in just a moment. And so here's what the prophecy in the word. And so because of Veronica walking out and ask Yahweh what the word is, Yahweh was able to give me, go, I already gave you a word for this year and you haven't even looked at it. He gave me something and I'm like, oh, no, no, no. And they go back and the prophetic word, this is the year of a meth. And Yahweh's going to translate that faithfulness, faithful, faithful. Faithful. Think about something. You get a phone call and your wife's going into labor at home and there's nobody to take her to the doctor and I'm 200 miles away. Who would you call? Somebody who is
faithful.
A faithful person would drop anything because of your relationship. The relationship could be hesed, possibly. I'm going to call that one. There are people that say, oh, I'll go. There's no faithfulness. Their words mean nothing. And I've been that at times. But all of us know something. I love you. They say it to everybody, or they'll say they'll be there, and they're not there. You're like, okay. I don't mean to point a light on them to push them down, but the point is we should be looking at this word faithful. And in the prophecy that was spoken over me, the word is this faithfulness and confidence in Yahweh's ability and His work and what He wants to do this year. And then in the prophecy, he said, he was at a conference. And that the conference was like a business conference. And they were going to teach the employees how to trust one another. You don't know these people. You don't trust them. You don't know anything about it. And they're going to do what's called a trust fall. Somebody's going to close their eyes and fall backwards. We can see that on TV. And in this situation, Yahweh's working through this guy to explain what Yahweh's trying to paint for me. They're going to do the first trust fall, and they picked the biggest guy there. It could have been a coincidence. Here's the biggest guy. And before he closes his eyes to fall backwards, he looks behind him, and they picked the smallest woman in the room to catch him. It's not going to work. He's going to kill her. you're a smusher. You got a 6'5", 350-pound man, and a 4'2" little woman's going to catch him. So they weren't thinking. And they're getting ready to do it. He's like, I can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. And the person that was organizing it, was they weren't ignoring the facts, but they're oblivious to us. And they go, what's the problem? He goes, I can't fall on that person. It doesn't make sense. And he goes, well, how do you want to do this? And then the guy picked another very large man. And you come over here. Okay, this is going to work. So the large man comes up. He goes, and he looks at the guy who's going to do this trust fall backwards. You're going to fall right back into him. And he goes, will this guy work? He goes, absolutely. And the instructor said, why? First, he's big enough to catch me. And second, I know this guy for years. I know this guy. Do you know Yahweh? All of us, before this year, Yahweh cannot do many mighty works in our own lives because we have unbelief. Now, I wouldn't say in this group that it's any kind of malicious or rebellious unbelief, but if we really believe that Yahweh wanted to do greater things in our lives, why would I say greater things? Because we can look at the scriptures as the examples. Here's Moses. You're 80. You're ready to go. No, I'm not ready to go. And here he's going to go to 120, Abraham, and these stories where people should be sunsetting off. And Yahweh goes, no, you're just beginning. Why? Why would Yahweh choose an old man to do those things? Because through Abraham and Sarai, or Sarah, who got all the attention? What God do you serve? It's Yahweh. Who is Yahweh? He's your creator, and you're going to meet him sooner or later to get this attention. So in our own lives, as we examine some of these examples, we should say, okay, first of all, who is asking us through the Ruah to fall backwards? Have they ever caught you before? And this will prepare you for the future. Veronica was asked to leave her home and her country and her name. Move. How could you do that to somebody who has no relationship with Yahweh and His Son Christ? How could they do it? They have no idea. There's no communication. They don't. And in your case, you talk to them every day, right? The same spirit that was saying, I want you to do this, is the one you talk to every single day. I have no problem. That doesn't make it easy, but that person can catch me. And so some examples. So now we'll go to the first usage of a method. If you turn to Genesis chapter 24, we'll look at this.
There's?
Let me get there first. I don't want to tell you a verse and change it and you can't follow, okay? So in the first usage of a meth, let's see, there it is, page 53. It's going to be verse 27. This is going to be the first usage. And so this is going to be Abraham's chief servant. He had one that's called Eleazar. The scriptures don't say that the name is Eleazar here. It would appear that way. But the servant said, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of my Lord Abraham, who hath not withheld his hesed and his emeth from my Lord. I being in the way, Yahweh led me unto the house of the brethren of my Lord. What trust fall had just happened? Before this, this man works for whom?
Abraham.
If somebody works for Chuck Cunningham, are they going to hear a lot about the word? Are they going to hear corrections? Are they going to? Yeah, they're going to be affected by this person and this faith. This man who worked for Abraham. What was he told to do? A trust fall. He tells him, go get a wife for Isaac. Oh, wait a minute. No pressure there, right? Divorces, this and that. And the guy goes, wait a minute. If a woman doesn't come, should I bring Abraham back there? And Yahweh went, no. Or Abraham went, no. What woman is he told to do? to go get. Basically, if we insert ourselves into the story here, Abraham says to this guy, go find the woman that's going to save the world. No pressure. Why? Because the curse of the woman, the curse of the man, in Genesis 3 is going to be reversed, and Yahweh tells that to Abraham, your seed's going to reverse this curse. What does it mean? The seed of the woman's coming from me. The Messiah's coming from me. It's not going to come from the Egyptian woman, Hagar. We didn't know that. It's going to come from Sarai. It comes. He's about 30 years old, and now he needs a wife. And the woman I got to pick has got to be the right one, because the child, at some point, they don't know what generation is going to save the whole world. No pressure, right? Abraham says, Yahweh will go before you. And you can imagine this guy going, oh. And what does he do? He gets down and he asks Yahweh, going, wait a minute, okay, here's this trust fall he does with this servant. And tonight, I really believe Yahweh, each one of us is communicating, I want more out of you. I want you to launch out into the deep in a different direction or something. And so this guy gets down and he says, okay, what does he do? Yahweh doesn't tell him what to do, but he had to get moving. Faith is action. You got to be moving. And what he says is, okay, I'm not getting any information. Just tell me which one it is. Tell me where to go. No. So he goes where young women are, okay? And then he goes, okay, the first woman that I see that waters, gives me water to ask, she's going to change the tire on my flat tire. That'll be feeding the camels. And what does he do? Think about the faith of this guy. She's gorgeous. This is not a desperate woman. You're looking at it and he looks at her, and Yahweh specifically talked about Rebecca's beauty. You don't see a beautiful woman and expect her to go change a tire or change the oil, but he's gonna. But she does that, and he falls down. And he goes, Yahweh caught me. I'm like, man, and so Abraham did a trust fall. And it could have been Yahweh telling Abraham, not you, wait a minute, I should be the one to go, right? Trust me. I got something. Here Abraham's being stretched. And when is this? This is after Sarah died. Right? Man, I gotta, and now I might be losing my son, maybe I'm not, who knows what he could have been going through. How's the family going to be? Are we still going to do Christmas together? Are they going to go over there? Is she going to like me? Will they let me play with the grandkids? Who knows? But Yahweh goes, no, it's going to be your servant that's going to do that. Another example, and I think it would change my whole imagination about Peter was my dad said something during a teaching. He said, nobody's going to say, tell me to walk on water. Why would you ever even think that? And what he believes is that Peter had missed it. And he had missed it. And he was and he had missed something. He could have rose up. And he missed it. And all of us have that. And Yahweh says, you go. And you wait and you miss it. And you're like, oh no, I missed it. And he believes that Peter had missed it. And he had already committed before the situation to say, no matter what it is, I'm going. And my parents were really good at that. If you missed it, be ready for the next one. Tell Yahweh, send it back. Send it back. And what Peter was probably doing, if you go there in Matthew chapter 14, the logical explanation is Peter had already...
19?
14? Probably Peter probably already committed to do the next supernatural, the next big thing ever. And what if that was true? Can you imagine Yahweh speaking to Yehoshua going, oh, this just came in, son. What? I just got an email that Peter has already committed to something incredible. Really? What should it be? Cast out a demon? How about you can imagine, and this, I got an idea, Dan. What is it? I'm going to walk on water. You can imagine it. Let's stretch Peter's faith. What's going to happen? And then the cool thing about walking on water, what profit is there?
Yeah.
It was just like Yahweh showing off. And now the whole world knows about Peter and Yehoshua walking on water. And now I wonder how many situations like that are in our own life. Yahweh's waiting for us, not for explanations. Give me some explanation, I'll get ready to go. No, He's waiting for us to say, send me. I'll go. Here I am. Isaiah 6:8. Wherever you need, I'll do it, boss. And Yahweh looks at Isaiah and goes, yeah, he can do it. And send that guy. But here's Peter. Comes chapter 8, verse 8. I said 14, sorry.
14.
Sorry, yeah, 14.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me just get there.
26?
Probably. Let me get there. Yeah, okay.
26?
Yeah, yes. Somebody would read 26.
And the disciples...
26 to 28.
And the disciples, seeing him upon the lake, walking, were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And by reason of their fear, they cried out. And straightway, Yahushua spake unto them, saying, take courage, it's I, be not afraid. And making answer, Peter said unto him, Lord, if it is thou, bid me come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, come.
And I think about that.
And descending from the boat.
So, we're just going to focus on that. What's going on here? And maybe Yahweh saw Peter's heart, and this guy is going, he's ready. He's ready to do something big. You can imagine if this was true, if you could do a whole movie, Yahweh going, he's ready. And he's never going to be ready like this ever again. I mean, he is red hot, ready to go. We'll get to see it even sometimes in our own lives where the prophecies just flow out. And it was so accurate, and it might never ever happen again. But here, maybe Yahweh's going and Christ is going to go, this guy's ready to really show you off. Because what does Peter do? It should be interesting. I mean, I looked at this, very peculiar. He says, bid me to come. What does that mean? Well, bid is the word, let me see, kilio. Kilio, command me. Isn't that unusual? Mm-hmm. Command me to go to you. No, just say, can I come? Can I go? But no, he says, you command me. And what an interesting choice of words. And as if you look into that, this commandment, it says, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but in Ecclesiastes 8, I think it's 8:4, but it talked about the command of a king, the authority. If you command it, if you speak it, it's a done deal. And somebody else does that too. It's going to be the centurion. The centurion just says, you say the word. And think about that, even with the centurion and Peter. Peter probably already preparing himself to do what? Where was his heart? Show yourself strong. You need weak things? Chronicles 16:9. I'm weak. Here you go. Here's your palette. Show yourself strong. And I think as we start imagining what... like Peter and stuff, and go, what does Yahweh desire in each one of our lives to stretch us out like we've never been stretched before? Why? I don't want to be stretched. I want comfort. What does He want? He wants to show the world who He is. And we look at that, we imagine and say, what could I do better or more? Or what have I never been good at? And as we walk into those rooms in our mind, He waits. He's waiting. And the wonderful thing about that is the teachings happen this way. Somebody speaks a prophetic word and does a teaching, and all of a sudden your whole life's turned upside down. You go, why didn't you just tell me that? You should have just downloaded that from the beginning. How come I didn't know John 3:16 did not say it, talk about heaven and hell? You could have downloaded it, but it transformed these things. But He waits for us, and we go into those rooms, and you go, I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting anything. I don't get anything. Right? You got to open your mouth and you got to speak. Bid me to go on the water. Or, like the servant of Abraham, Yahweh was waiting for him. But what does he do? Somebody's got to do something. He goes, the one that I choose to ask for water, she's going to water the camels. And what did Yahweh do with that? Yahweh was waiting on them to speak. Yeah. Then he goes, Moses did this reading Exodus. And she's like, oh my gosh, my wife is a clean freak. She vacuums 2 times a day. She might be addicted to chlorine or chlorine bleach. Because everything's always clean. That's a joke. When she's reading about Moses and frogs everywhere, can you imagine frogs on our couches? Frogs in the clean clothes. Frogs in the refrigerator. They stink. They're nasty. All the rest of it. She reads and she goes, ah! Pharaoh asked Moses to get rid of the frogs. And Moses said, what time do you want them gone? And she went, and Pharaoh said, tomorrow? Ah! Can you imagine the housewives? Tomorrow, they're going to molt. What is wrong with you? But Moses says, what time? And you're just speaking. You're always waiting for us to say, speak. Or for us to speak. If it is you, how important is this with an idea? It could be a vacation to go somewhere and stirring around there. What is this? What is this? Yahweh, if this is you, tell me to walk out on the water. And he might say, no, don't worry about it. Okay, I'm getting right back to work. And it could be we go to check in that room. How are you going to stretch me? I got nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, it could be you want to be comfortable. You're not being realistic. Or it could be you're like, you're already stretching it. And what a compliment if Yahweh tells you, you're doing it. I am. I am walking on water. You're walking on water. I don't see that. That's what we see up here. Gideon didn't see it either, did he? What matters is not what you see and perceive, or this world sees and perceive. What matters is what we see. Does the maker of the eye not see? I see you. You're walking on water. You're raising the dead. You're doing mightier works. How could I be doing mightier works? I don't see anything. And it could be saying, this is what you did yesterday, transform everything. You're never going to understand it. But just remember that. And all of a sudden you're like, wow. Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah.
And then the next one will be, since Matthew chapter 8.
Eight.
Yeah, it's chapter 8. Yeah, and so the emphasis of the trust fall, the emeth, and the purpose of the trust fall, is for Yahweh through Christ to show Himself. Get out of the way. Now I'm using when I'm flexing my strengths, the thing that I'm good at. It's like you're standing in front of Him, but when you go do your weakest thing. If he calls you to do your weakest thing ever, something I'm not good at, guess what happens? You're getting out of the way. But all of it, I believe, starts with this. Your imagination, what you do, you don't do with it, it's up to you. And I believe Peter was already thinking. He had committed. He's going to do it. And you can imagine other people, he's getting out of the boat. Well, who does that? Somebody who had already made a decision and they were ready to be called. Also, Abraham and the servant too. This guy was thinking. And he was thinking. And the centurion, if somebody would read verse 8, chapter 8, verse 8.
For the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am of no consideration that under my roof thou shouldest enter, but only say with the word, and healed shall be my servant.
So it was paused there. He says, say the word. And Yahushua marvels. 2 times he marveled. Unbelief and this guy. What did this guy do? Say the word. Now let's just entertain possibly what the centurion was thinking. Well, wait a minute. Caesar doesn't come here to Caesarea or Judea. All I got to do is say the word, Caesar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, through that, it's going to be probably a written communication. Caesar's going to do a signet ring, and it's done. And so, wait a minute. Yeah, I don't need to go anywhere. This is authority. And you can imagine him going, Caesar's not going everywhere. And you can imagine if this guy's very successful. He built a synagogue. Right? You think he knows how to multitask? And I bet you he does. And what he has is he's got people, you go here, I don't have to do everything. But I do have to trust you. Now go. And through this, I believe possibly him also going, wait a minute, I understand authority. Just say the word. Christ is better than Caesar. Say the word. But I believe he was imagining, he was using it. And what... this type of trust fall, what's on the line? His faithful servant's going to die. Wait a minute. Who else has gone before him to do something like this? Nobody. Christ is going to marvel, going to go, wait a minute, what's on the line? Somebody's going to die. This is not walking on water. This is a very serious situation. It's not a time to be experimenting. But I believe that Yahweh, he was working, and he starts it, and Yahweh starts stirring something, and because of the centurion, and because of the servant of Abraham, and because of Peter, Yahweh worked with their imagination, and he goes, perfect, stretch out. And so the teaching and the encouragement was for us to be prepare ourselves for 2026, or whatever time frame you want, to say, how do you want me to do this thing to show yourself strong? And what we'll do is you explore what is the thing that you want me to do or not to do. You go, okay, but before you scare yourself out of something, make sure you look backwards, not for the small man, but for what Yahweh has already done in your life. Is he faithful? How many times has he pulled you out of the pit? How many times has he shown up, like in your own businesses, all the different jobs that you guys had? You're able to go home on Christmas and quit a job? You can't do that! Yeah, yes we can. And so we look back, and we look at Yahweh's meth in our own lives, ready to be stretched out to show himself strong. And we thank you, Father, for the word and the example that we look at over this next year to consider what would be our biggest gift to you. And if there is anything that is really big, we thank you for helping us with our imagination to imagine what would be the most difficult. What's the hardest thing we could do? What would be the most challenging? And we thank you that you inhabit those thoughts and for speaking. Thank you for giving us your Ruach HaKodesh to confirm things. And thank you for holding our hand, that you will catch us just like you did Peter when he started sinking. And we thank you for these words. So know, my children, that every day is a masterpiece with me. And years and timelines, I'm not on man's timetables either. But I do look into the future of your life. I also see that it's a breath. It's going by so quick for each one of you. And I don't want to miss incredible things with your lives because I love you. This is all you get. And one day the book will close on this life, and that's all you get, all the ink out there. So I encourage you to be a Peter, a James, and a John. Be assertive. Be ready to volunteer even if you don't understand. Be ready to speak up, and I can work with that. And just as Peter, James, and John continued to ask and to volunteer to seek more, so did my son know that he could do a trust fall on them when he took them into the garden. And what a privilege. Because there are places that there are gardens of Gethsemane where I need somebody that I can faithfully fall back on. And each one of you in this room right now, I've fallen back on you many times. And I look forward to these more times here in the near future. Amen.
Amen.